We know that without you, there's no reason for us to gather here. Without your presence, without your work, there is no reason for us to be here. And so we pray that you would determine what happens, that you would guard your word, that you would change each of us, that your spirit would dictate what is taught and what we hear. So we commit this service to you and we commit the sermon to you. Ask that you would use it. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. Please take a seat. We are in Exodus chapter 20. We're just cruising. Exodus chapter 20. And we're going to pick up in verse 12 of Exodus chapter 20. It's Mother's Day in our household. Julie turned 22 today. So, happy birthday, Julie. Chapter 20, verse 12. It's a pretty well-known commandment. It's probably one of those that is seldom forgotten in the home. If you're going to remember a commandment, parents, kids, this is one that doesn't get forgotten very easily, does it? Right, Jess? This is the commandment of chapter 20, verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. This is the first command given that has nothing to do with the relationship, directly has nothing to do with the relationship between you and God. The first commandments that we have studied all revolve around what relationship? Those that follow Him and the Lord, Yahweh, the Creator God. So commandments 1, 2, 3, and 4 have everything to do with God and your relationship to Him. Now we enter into the second half of the commandments. You remember what Jesus said? He said, he was asked, what's the greatest commandment? Now that was a trap, right? Jesus was asked by a Pharisee who was trying to trap him in his words, because if he said this was the best commandment, then it would disagree with another rabbi, and then everybody that followed that rabbi would be upset with Jesus, and so there'd be a fraction among the ranks, really. And so he said, what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus says, and love your neighbor as yourself. Love the Lord your God, and love your neighbor as yourself. He was breaking down the Ten Commandments into two categories. The first four that we studied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself as the last bit of the commandment. So we have studied so far that first portion, loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Now, this would be worthy, listen, if you are interested, students, if you're thinking about going back to school, or you might think about going back to school, I will give you a doctoral dissertation that you can take to the bank. Here's a good one. Ready? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Those are four items, right, that you're supposed to use to love the Lord. How many commandments have we studied so far in the first bit? Four commandments. Look at it just briefly. Love the Lord your God. This is in Mark and Luke. They go out of their way to break it down into four separate ways to love God. You're supposed to love Him with all your heart. It may coincide with the first commandment, no other gods before me. Love the Lord your God with all your soul, no idols. With all your mind, don't take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And strength, remember the Sabbath. There might be a correlation there. I don't know. I'd challenge you to take that and study it. Okay, moving on though. That would be Mark and Luke for you. Mark chapter 12, verse 30, and Luke 10, 27, if you want to look it up. This is the first commandment that we are given in relationship to other people. How are we to interact with other people? This is how it starts. If the first portion of the commandments, if we're going to break it down into two, as Jesus did, the first one hangs on the linchpin that God is the only God, period. That's the linchpin for the beginning of the commandments. And the second linchpin for the last commandments is what? Honor your parents. Honor your parents. Now you might be saying, why is that the linchpin? Why is that the thing that everything else flows out of? Well, I think we're going to see that today as we study this. I hope we see it. There is no other relationship that is so fundamental to your life as the relationship that you have with your parents. And some of you are sitting here saying, I don't have a relationship with my parents. Or some of you are parents and saying, I don't have a relationship with my children. Or the relationships that I do have with my children or my parents, it's not great. In fact, you may have thought of this or heard this question, how can I honor my parents when they want me to do something that God doesn't want me to do? Some of you have felt that turmoil all your life. And I think we're going to look at that today, how to address that today. Best place to start when studying Scripture is in Scripture itself. So let's think about Scripture for a moment. By the way, kids, younger, those that don't have children, a lot of times, parents, we tend to apply this to our kids. We want to make sure our kids hear it. But in a list, look at the list that we've been studying. We've been studying a list that contains things like, if you have a slave, a female servant or a male servant, what are you supposed to do for them previous week? Let them have the Sabbath off. How many children have slaves? Or don't covet your neighbor's wife. See, this is a pretty adult list. And I don't think we mean to look at this and say, well, this applies to adults, but this applies to kids. That's not what's going on here. This applies to adults just as well as it applies to kids. So this is for everybody in here. You might be thinking, well, I'm past that. My parents are dead. My kids are here. I even said it last week. I really hope they're here this week so that they hear this commandment, right? But the truth of the matter is we all need to hear it. And we'll see why in a second. That's a big point that in every commentary, everybody says that. You can't pass this on to children. This is for adults. Now look at this commandment. What's unique about it? The first thing that's unique to me is it's in the positive. It's not in the negative. There are 8 commandments in the negative. You shall have no other gods. You shall not make for yourself. You shall not take. But then in verse 8, remember the Sabbath. There's a positive. And then verse 12, honor your father and your mother. Positive. Then verse 13, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness. Negative, 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 but we have a positive here. Why? What's really interesting is that the Sabbath commandment was placed in the positive when it would be very easy to place it in the negative. You shall not do work on the Sabbath. And yet it's placed in the positive. Why are those two positive commands? See, some commentators look at it and say, well, they're later additions. Someone later on was like, oh, this would be helpful to add. So they added it. And you can see that it's added because it's said differently. Well, how about it's said differently so that we take those two as a pair? I think that would be helpful in our study. Remembering the Sabbath and honoring your parents, they go together. Now, they may not seem like they go together, but they go together in this sense. This list, from the top to the bottom, is one list. And though we can break it into 2 separate lists, or 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 lists, it is one list. And the two that don't seem like they go together at all are stated similarly so that they fit together. And so that as we transition from God and we go into man, we realize what? This is the same list for the same person. It doesn't matter if you're referring to God or for people. This list needs to apply to all of us. All of it does. You see? They go together. The transition verses are stated together similarly so that we would make sure we keep them together and we don't separate them. And you might find that in some churches. The church is all about only serving God. We don't care about people. Or you find the other extreme, possibly more often. We just want to serve people. And they just completely forget about serving God and honoring Him. But the list is set up so that we don't separate them. Keep them together, you see? Is everybody with me? Okay, we're just going through some background stuff yet still. Even Leviticus 19:3 makes sure that we see them together. Write that down if you want to go back and look at it. Leviticus 19:3 keeps those two commandments right with each other. It's almost as if, for the author of Leviticus, they're the same command. The list is united. honor your father and your mother. What does the word honor mean? Honor. I think you got it wrong, Moses. You could have said 20 different words that would have been more easy for us to obey or to follow, excuse me. One of those words might be obey. Obey your parents. But it doesn't say that, does it? It says honor your parents. What does honor mean? The word honor, this particular Hebrew word honor, is used 173 times in the Old Testament. I'm going to read some verses with this word in it, and I want you to figure out if which word in the sentence is that word, okay? Genesis chapter 12, verse 10 says this, "Now there was a famine in the land, so Abraham went down to Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was severe in the land." It has that word honor in it. Genesis chapter 13, verse 2, "Now Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver and in gold." It has that word honor in it. Exodus chapter 19, verse 16, "On the morning of the third day there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast, so that all the people in the camp trembled." It has the word honor in it. Leviticus 3, 4. This really throws a wrench into things. "And the two kidneys with the fat that is on them at the loins and the long lobe of the liver that he shall remove with the kidneys." Numbers 11, 14 has the word honor. Does everybody know what I'm doing right now? Are you still with me? Or do you just hear me reading verses? Because if that's the case, my goodness. Numbers 11, 14. "I'm not able to carry all this people alone. The burden is too heavy for me." Has that word honor in it. So what word among these verses is this, the idea of honor? There was a theme there, wasn't there? In the first verse I read, "For the famine was severe in the land." Severe. It's translated in Genesis 12:10, Genesis 13:2. "Now Abram, was very rich in livestock." Rich. "On the morning of the third day, there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud." Thick. Numbers 11:14. "I'm not able to carry all this people alone. The burden is too heavy for me." What's the idea of honor? There's a heaviness in the word. There's a depth there. There's a depth that's seen in the verse that I didn't read again. "The two kidneys with the fat that is on them at the loins and the long of the lobe of the liver." Liver. Believe it or not, it's a deep part. From your gut, this honoring thing is a heavy concept. It's the opposite of light. I'll read a verse that has the word honor. 1 Samuel 2:30, that gives us a very clear idea of what this word means. "Therefore the Lord, the God of Israel, declares, I promised that your house and the house of your father should go in and out before me forever. But now the Lord declares, far be it from me, for those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me, I will lightly esteem." You see the contrast there? God will honor those who honor him, but he will esteem lightly the other. A flippant attitude versus this honoring. You follow me? Honor your father and your mother. Notice too, it includes who? The mother. It goes out of its way. God goes out of his way to make sure you understand that this is not just for men and fathers. This is for the mothers as well. This weightiness, whatever that is, this weight is heavy. And it's for both mothers and fathers. What does it signify? We ought to have a weightiness towards our parents. There is, in other words, let me put it this way, there is a burden on us that revolves around our parents. Now hold on to that thought as we continue. How about this idea, length of days in the land? You see that there? "That your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you." Well, this becomes clear to the student of the Word as you continue to study this and as Scripture expounds on itself, which if it ever does, you should take note. And it does in Deuteronomy 21. In Deuteronomy 21, 18 through 21, I'm going to read this to you. Deuteronomy chapter 21, If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and though they discipline him, will not listen to them, then his father and mother shall take hold of him, bring him out to the elders of the city at the gate of the place where he lives. And they shall say to the elders of his city, "This is our son. Our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard." Then all the men of the city shall stone him to death with stones. Now you go back to the command, honor your father and mother that your days may be long in the land. It's pretty clear. If you dishonor your parents, they have an obligation according to the law to bring you to the elders of the city. This is a significant command, in other words. And we keep saying that every week, but I can't find an insignificant command yet. There might be one still ahead of us. So, hey, everyone, kids, adults, grandparents, listen. This is for all of us, and it's very important. You still may be thinking, I don't need this command. My parents are gone. How did the original audience hear these words? Context, context, context. When they heard these words, what did they think? Did Aaron think, "That's right, sons. You heard it. You heard the man. Honor your father." You think that's what Aaron was thinking? Or Moses? I want you to turn to Leviticus 20, please. Leviticus chapter 20. It opened my eyes to this command. And the paragraph breakup in your Bibles is not... Moses didn't have that when he wrote this down. So don't let that dictate what you think. Okay, we're going to pick up in verse 9. This is a commentary on the book of the law. This is a commentary on the Decalogue. Do you know what I mean when I say Decalogue? This is a commentary on the 10 words, the 10 commandments. Chapter 20, verse 9. "For anyone who curses his father or mother shall surely be put to death." There again we see why it's important to obey. Your life will be lengthened. "He has cursed his father or his mother, his blood is upon him. If a man commits adultery with the wife of his neighbor, both the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. If a man lies with his father's wife, he has uncovered his father's nakedness, both of them shall surely be put to death. Verse 12, if a man lies with his daughter-in-law. Verse 13, if a man lies with a male as with a woman, both of them. Verse 14, if a man takes a woman and her mother also. Verse 15, if a man lies with an animal, I'm talking with my children often, I guess. Verse 16, thanks, Kara, I appreciate it. She's the only one that got it. You got to be quick, Zach. Verse 16, if a woman approaches any animal and lies with it. Verse 17, if a man takes his sister. Verse 18, if a man lies with a woman. Verse 19, you shall not uncover the nakedness of your mother's sister. Verse 20, if a man lies with his uncle's wife. Verse 21, if a man takes his brother's wife. This command is the beginning of a list of what? Sexual sin. The command, honor your father and mother, is stated and it is elaborated on in this list of sexual sins. Now ask yourself the question, how are they possibly connected besides maybe they're connected in the Ten Commandments somehow? How is sexual sin and honoring your parents connected? And you begin to understand the heart of the command when you can make that connection. Why is it such a problem if there is sexual sin in the family? Now I'll ask you, because it's hard for our context to get this. Think of the way the East thinks of family and honor. Family, there are descendants who are brought forth through your actions, and sexual sin reveals those actions, and it reveals something about your family, or at least it says something to the world about how you feel about the family that you're in. You see, the family I'm in, I don't really care about my father's name. Do you know what I care about? I care about me. I care about my pleasure. That's it. And this is what I'm going to do. And so in so doing, as we see in this list, you are dishonoring your parents. Now, your parents don't have to be alive for that, do they? In fact, when the original audience heard this, who did they think of? The parents? That's a modern-day understanding of the fathers, the patriarchs Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. How can we honor them? We honor them by obeying and having a family that is pure. Do you see? So there's a direct connection between your actions. Here's the point. There's a direct connection between your actions and how it affects the name your parents have. We all would agree with that, right? Your parents' reputation, in a sense, is bound up in who you are as a person. That's the heart of the command. Honor your father and mother. And now we see why this is the first of the second section of commands. It's the first of the second section of commands because if you honor your father and your mother, these are the things that you'll do in honoring them. You see? If God is the one true God, these are the things you'll do. And if your parents are honored, these are the things you'll do. You see? Honoring your parents has nothing to do with obeying them. It has everything to do with having a righteous name in the family. Being obedient to Almighty God. That's what it means to honor. If your parents, if my grandparents, my grandpa Mario from Italy, he didn't know Jesus. But before God, if I can cause my children to love Jesus Christ, there is a sense in which his genes are honored before mankind because in this line, because of Jesus Christ, I'm honoring Mario. You see that? Not that I'm honoring, but Jesus Christ is honoring this heritage that I look back on and is dirty. Honoring your parents. So those that are worried, I can't obey my parents. I can't honor them. Obedience to the God of the universe is a blessing to your name. And when I say your name, I mean your family name. Do you see that? Honoring your father and your mother has everything to do with how you prepare the generations to come. So when it says that your days may be long, what does that mean? Okay, stay with me. Don't drift because this is important. All of this is important, and the most important part is coming up yet. So we haven't gotten there. We haven't landed yet. When it says that your days may be long in the land that I have promised, there's a man that was prophesied about in Isaiah 53, and this very passage is quoted. This idea of prolonged life is quoted in Isaiah 53, that your life may be long. And yet, the man that is prophesied in the passage is Jesus Christ, and he was crucified. His time was cut short, in a sense. And those that follow him, listen, those that follow him, their life was cut short. They didn't have long lives. So what does long life mean in biblical context? It has twofold meaning. Eternally, as all of you are grabbing onto, and that's it. But also, your family name is prolonged. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob continue to be talked about because of the honoring that their family has done. Do you see? Because not that they honored them as we understand it in modern day Western civilization, but in their obedience to Yahweh, that this lineage has honored God. And so the line goes on. And Jesus Christ, his work continues. Okay. So, honoring your father and mother has everything to do with how we prepare generations after us. This Eastern idea of honor is really helpful because it's really what these people would have understood, this honoring. I have a friend who was a missionary in Japan, him and his wife, and they were involved in a church, a really wonderful church. And there was a youth group in the church. And Dan is his name, and he was involved a little bit in the youth group ministry, and there was a leader in the youth group who took an interest in a young lady who was a senior in high school. And they, for our standards, were extremely cautious. And he did not do anything, this youth leader, did not do anything until that young lady graduated high school. And when she graduated high school, he asked her out on a date. Well, this brought dishonor to that family. Because as a youth leader, it was seen as though he was taking advantage of this young lady. And it could be twisted to look like he was taking advantage of her, almost in a sexual way. Now, there was no physical, they didn't even hardly touch each other. But the dishonor was there in the family. And this young man, he knew it. when it was brought up, he knew it. And Dan, my friend, was blown away by the attitude that this young man had after this came to light. And Dan stood back and watched as a Westerner to see this, how this would unfold. And the severity of punishment for this young man, because he acted on this, because he asked this young lady out, in an elder meeting, the men walked by him and they all had the opportunity to say something and touch him in a way that seemed appropriate to them. So most of them were smacking him, and the father of the young lady didn't hold back, and he ended up on the floor, and he wasn't feeling as though I had a right. He understood I dishonored my father's name by doing this. I brought shame upon my family by acting the way I did. It had nothing to do with how he related to his earthly father or mother. It had everything to do with how he acted, and it affected his family and his family name. By the way, I believe they're engaged now after this whole ordeal. It's several years later. He had to go through 2 years of discipline, separated from the ministry, but they've been brought together in the appropriate way. And the name is the family name is changing again. But do you see the weight and the gravity of your actions, brothers and sisters? Our actions have a direct impact on the family that we're part of, even if your parents are gone. This is important, though. Remember when Christ was in the midst of the beginnings of his ministry? A little theology lesson here. As you study the New Testament, this is important for you to know. Stay with me. This is some good stuff. This is meat and potato stuff. Jesus goes out in the wilderness, right? And what is he doing out in the wilderness for 40 days? He's fasting. He's praying. He's being tempted by Satan. And why is he out in the wilderness for 40 days? He's out in the wilderness for 40 days because he's mirroring what? The Israelites, that they were in the wilderness for how many years? 40 years. Only they went into the wilderness and they were not able to uphold the precepts of the law, and they failed. Jesus now would go into the wilderness, and what would he do? He would uphold and keep the precepts of the law. In fact, he chose specific passages that had to do with the heart of the law to counter Satan as he was being challenged by Satan, showing the people, I am doing what Israel could not do. I'm doing what man could not do. See, he was following in their footsteps. Now, what happened just before he entered the wilderness? Right as he was entering the wilderness, what happened? He was baptized. What did that symbolize, brothers and sisters? His baptism symbolized the crossing of what? The Sea of Reeds, the Red Sea. His baptism of John, he was doing that in correlation to this time in the wilderness. Just prior to the time in the wilderness, he would be baptized, right? Just prior to the Israelites being in the wilderness, they would be baptized going through the sea, right? What happened right after he was baptized? Help me out, students. The Spirit descended, and what did the Father say? This is my Son with whom I am well pleased. And what commandment was being fulfilled right at that moment? He was already showing, I'm going to uphold the commandments. And the Father was being honored through Jesus' obedience to God. Jesus was fulfilling what we could not do. Do you remember what happened early in Jesus' life when Mary and Joseph thought Jesus was disobeying the fifth commandment? He got lost, and they finally found him, and they said, what are you doing? And the color of the interaction is, why are you disobeying us, son? And what's Jesus' response? In a sense, he's saying, I'm honoring my Father. I'm with my Father in his house. You think I'm dishonoring you? No, I'm honoring as God would want me to honor. And people would look back on Joseph and Mary and their upbringing, and they're honored because of the way Jesus lived. But Jesus understood that his Father in heaven was the one he needed to obey. So listen to me, students, children, before all of this, before everything I'm saying, you need to know this. Your requirement is to obey the Father in heaven. And in so doing, you will honor your earthly parents. Obedience to the Father in heaven is honoring your earthly parents. You see how that's connected? And what is a beloved title that Jesus gives to his followers? Children of God. John 1:12. Romans 8:16, Paul tells us. 8:21. Romans 9:8. 1 John 3:1. 1 John 3:10. 1 John 5:2. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. If you've been given the opportunity to become a child of God, this precept, this command, the question of this command is heightened to a whole new level. Are you honoring the Father or not? And brothers and sisters, let me tell you, let me let you in on a secret. We will fail. You will fail. But here's the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The good news is, historically speaking, Jesus steps in our place and does what we cannot do and we could not do and will not be able to do. And so our desire to uphold these Ten Commandments and all of Israel's desire to uphold these Ten Commandments, it falls by the wayside as Jesus Christ, the second Adam, the man, steps into my place and does what I could not do. And we hear the words of the Father saying, "That's my Son, and I'm pleased with him. He has honored me." And if you have not associated yourself with Jesus Christ yet, then you will not be able to honor the Father. Who do you represent today? And an equally important question is, who represents you? So really, the heart of this command has to do with representing a family line. We will fail at representing that family line. So who represents you? I want to ask you to bow your heads with me. And if you're a parent, I'm going to ask you to pray this. Yes, for your children, but also don't leave yourself out of needing this correction if there is correction. Father, we know that we have not been able to honor, in one sense, our earthly parents, really, but in a greater sense, we have not been able to honor you in the way we ought. And so we're relying upon you, Jesus, and how you were able to fulfill this command. But Father, if there are those that hear these words that are not directly associated with you, that don't have a relationship with you, one like a marriage relationship, if there are those that hear these words that don't have that, we ask that you would awaken their heart today in the name of Jesus' work, that this relationship would become our life, because that is what it is. You are our life. And we desire to decrease, and we're asking that you would increase in our lives, that these commands like this one, this very difficult command for us to uphold, would be taken care of in Jesus' name, and that you would cause us by your Holy Spirit to be able to be a blessing to the generations behind and those that follow. We pray that if there is a lineage of sin, that in Jesus' name that would end here, and that there would be righteousness because of Jesus Christ. So we commit ourselves to you. We pray that you would bring clarity and insight into situations where there may be difficult decisions that need to be made, that you would help us to understand how to proceed and how we might be a blessing to generations past and those still to come. We pray for our children, that you would bless them, and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren, and on and on and on, that there would be more and more who choose to call you Lord. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I was reminded just now, this idea of honoring your parents is so clear to me when my daughter is shouting praise at Jesus. That is an honor in the household. It has nothing to do with her relationship with me. It has everything to do with her relationship with Jesus. And your relationship with Christ is what we're talking about here. But really, our prayer and our heart's desire is not that we would honor our earthly parents, though that's part of it and that's a result of it. Pray that I'm a blessing to my parents and grandparents and so on. But most importantly, our prayer should be that we are honoring the name of the Lord, the God of the universe, the one true God, the one who would be at the front. But it's only in Jesus Christ that we can honor him. So I ask you to give yourself over to Christ, that the name of Yahweh may be esteemed greatly and not lightly. If you need prayer, I invite you to come forward. As we break bread together, please, let's remember this truth, that you and I, we are loved by a great and awesome God. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.